Father, we thank you that we can gather this morning, and we thank you that you have blessed and are blessing this time together during the week. And here we are, Lord, and I thank you for, there's more than a couple of us here, which is great. Just lead us and guide us now as we focus on you for just a moment and then go to prayer. And Lord, I do want to pray for those who left early and a little bit foggy out there, and I just pray for visibility and protection. All the way, and those who've already left yesterday and so forth, and who will be moving today, Lord, that you would bless and guide. And our thoughts would continually be of you, and we would leave this conference taking something more than we had when we came in terms of knowing you, loving you, honoring you with our whole heart. So lead us now this morning with your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I just want to look at a prayer in the Bible, in a sense, of the most wicked king that Judah had, and there's always some controversy on who was the worst, but Manasseh is the one that God said was the worst, so I'll just go along with that, or at least pretty much he said he was the one who was worst. In Jeremiah 15, years after Manasseh's salvation, the Lord told Jeremiah that I will not keep Israel from falling by being conquered by Babylon because of the wickedness of King Manasseh. So if he's even mentioning him that late, Manasseh was a wicked dude. But what we see today is God's awesome grace who turns this wicked, wicked, wicked man around. And it's so hopeful for us, I think, to be, you know, we've had some people, I bet you have, that you prayed for 10, 20, 30, maybe 40 years, and it just looks like they're worse now than they were 30 years ago. I mean, it's just like, forget it. No, don't forget it. Keep praying. There's nothing too far beyond the reach of the blood of Jesus. It's all about grace, I think. There's a lot of different things in this account, but we'll just, I think it's mostly about grace. So let's begin by just seeing a stanza or two of amazing grace. Then we will get into the study. Lord, we thank you again for joining us here now and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amazing grace. In 2 Chronicles 33, we have the account of the Chronicles account of Manasseh's reign in Judah. And this kind of follows the king's account of Hezekiah having his sickness. It was in Isaiah and so forth. And sickness unto death, and the Lord telling him, get your house in order, you're going to die. And then he cries out to the Lord for more time, and God gave him 15 more years. Not all good things happen in that 15 years. He foolishly let his heart be lifted up in pride. Hezekiah, who was one of the best kings, God said, in Judah. But his heart got lifted up in pride. And, of course, he showed the king of Babylon, or at least the Babylonian representatives, all the treasures that Judah had. And that led later to their being invaded. Of course, God used that, though. Also, during that time, probably about 11 or 12 years into that extension, he had this son, Manasseh. Now, I would think that Manasseh grew up in a very godly home at that point. You know, probably Isaiah was a house visitor because Hezekiah was, you know, calling on Isaiah all the time for prayer and all. You know, we're going to see here that environment is important in your background, but it doesn't really guarantee anything, because we have good king, bad king, good king, bad king. Because Hezekiah's father was wicked. Hezekiah was a great king. His son, now Manasseh, was the worst king Israel ever had in the first part of his 55-year reign. And then he will have it after he turns and is such a good king during his last part, and he has this son, Ammon, who's a bad king. But Ammon then has a son who is Josiah, who is a great king. It just doesn't transfer automatically. I don't see God just, you know, saving us because our parents were saved. I mean, it's great because our parents were saved, but we've got to make the decision, right? And so God seems to do things in his own way, obviously. But we see here in verse 31 of chapter 33, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He rebuilt the high places. He raised up the altars for Baals. He made wooden images. He worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Ouch, that is really bad. He built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And this is a sad verse in verse 6, and caused his sons, a plural, to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. You know, I was reading a statistic on the U.S. since Roe versus Wade, which happened back in 63, I think we've had over 60 million babies aborted. You know, that's one-sixth of the population of the United States. We got blood on our hands, big time. God hates that. And here, one of the bad things about Manasseh, he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying. He used witchcraft and sorcery. He consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed to your fathers, only if you are careful to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom God had destroyed, Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Sounds like pretty lost cause to me. God must really have his wrath stored up against this guy. Well, it's interesting. We see here as it goes on, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen to prophets. It's tradition that this guy actually saw Isaiah. He hid in a tree, and Manasseh knew he was in the tree. I understand the tradition anyway. So they saw the tree in half, which meant they cut him in half. So if that's the one referred to in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews, I don't know. But he hated God. And so with that hatred of God, there's no limit to what he would do. But now, verse 11 is a turnaround verse. Therefore, the Lord brought upon Israel, Judah, the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks. It doesn't say they took anybody else, but God just kind of plucked him out of there. Hooks, bound him with fetters, and carried him off to Jerusalem. Now, when he was in affliction, he asked, he implored, he begged, he groveled the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed to him, and he received his request, his entreaty. He heard his supplication, and God brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. I mean, there's a ridiculous question, but if you were of God, would you have taken that call? Who's on the phone, Manasseh? Forget him. He's a lost cause. He's done so much damage in my name. But no, we see the grace of God. There's no sin, and we know there's no sin. This is a good example. There's no sin beyond the blood of Jesus. And there's no one beyond. It's been said no one is too bad to be saved, and it's also been said there's no one too good who doesn't need to be saved, right? So I pray that this would be an encouragement for us who have prodigals or who know of prodigals, or whether prodigals or not, whether they've ever known the Lord, it would be very encouraging for us to pray for the lost, right? Because it's prayer that's about the only thing that we can do. We can give them the word, but we can't save them. But we can pray for them, right? And then Manasseh turned greatly. He took away the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord and all the altars he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificing peace offerings and thank offerings on it. Man, that must have been something, because we think he's about 40 years old at this point. So his first 40 years, really, he's never really offered, maybe as a little baby or a little boy, but he's never offered any peace offerings to the right God, right? And now here he is, midlife, or maybe a little more than midlife, and he begins to offer sacrifices to the Lord, thank offerings. And then he commanded Judah to serve the Lord God. So those of you who are praying, if we could just get some Christian leaders in this government and turn this country around. Well, I'd like to have all Christian leaders, but I don't think Christian leaders can turn any country around. I think that's God's work to turn a country around. And he's told us to turn it around one by one, right? From the bottom up, not from the top down necessarily. So there's no limit to our hope and peace isn't in nations, it's in the Lord. We see here then that he was a great king at the end, but verse 17, here's another nevertheless, which I don't like those neverthelesses when things are going pretty well. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed on the high places, but only to the Lord their God. Every time we see a bad king in Judah, all the ones in Israel were bad, but the Judah kings, there were some good ones and some bad ones, but every time basically you have a bad leader, the drop exceeds what the recovery is under a good king. And I think it's so much easier in our walk with the Lord, and we can bring people down, and then we can try to help them back up again, but we can never help them back up to where they were before they got brought down, because the propensity is to go down, right? It's not to go up. It's to go down. We see here then that the people still sacrificed, and then we close this out. So then Amon will reign after his death. Now his end, he was just like his father in the beginning reign, wicked as a wicked, but his own people wiped him out in 2 years. So this doesn't sound like there was any hope for him. He just a total loser. But then he has a son, Josiah, great King Josiah. So it's just very interesting. It's all in the hand of the Lord. And what do? We pray, right? So here we are to pray this morning. So we want to just thank the Lord for the conference. We want to pray for the people on their way home. We want to pray to have been changed in somewhat, every day in a way. But by this conference, what do we go to conferences for? Maybe just to have fellowship and good food. I don't know. But I hope it does something to us. Or spiritually, it's just kind of a wasted week, right? If we don't have anything. And I thank the Lord for last night. I thought last night was, every night was good, but last night I thought was especially moving, and it was moving to me anyway. Father, we thank you for your grace that you have demonstrated here in this account to us regarding Manasseh, such a wicked, wicked man, and yet you saved him. And Lord, when we think of our own children and grandchildren, and we don't want them to be taken by hooks in their nose and in their jaw and put into great affliction. But we do see that's apparently what it took for this wicked king. He didn't turn until all of his power and prestige and position was taken away from him, and he ended up in desperate situations, just like the parable of the man who came to himself eating the pig's food and they're in the New Testament parable and went back to the father and the prodigal son, we call it, story. So, Lord, I just pray for us this morning that we would be praying the way you would have us to pray, led by your Spirit, for the lost, for sure, and for the discipling and the establishing of faith for the saved. Lord, help us in that as well. So lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Father. hallowed be.
Father, we do say amen to that. Thank you for meeting us here this morning and guide us as we go forward. And may we just honor you with every breath, Lord. Help us, lead us and guide us. And we thank you and we praise you. May the Lord be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.